Okay, so everybody should have a responder. We're talking about bike laws for the next 45, 50 minutes or so. And some of you might think, bike laws, I've never seen anything about that before. I guess I'll go listen to that. Some of you may think, is there anything to know about bike laws? Why do I need to be here? Well, there's not a lot of rules and regulations concerning bike laws, but we will be able to, in this 45 minutes, I think I might, does it have a weird sound to you, like it's a little too high? Okay, I guess I'm hearing my echo. Okay, at the end of the hour, we will have gone over every single state law pertaining to bicycles, okay? So there's only about 4 rules of general operation, 3 rules regarding operation on the roadway, and 2 rules regarding safety equipment, and a rule about competitive racing. So we're talking about 10 rules. So the good news is, if you ever see a bike case, you will now be familiar with every single law pertaining to bikes that comes before you. So our objectives, number 1, we're going to identify and apply statutory rules and regulations set forth for bicycles in Chapter 551 of the Transportation Code. So that's the section that applies specifically to bicycles. We'll go over every single one of those laws. And we'll also spend some time talking and comparing and contrasting the rights and duties of bike riders versus drivers of automobiles, okay? And some of the feelings that come about as a result of those two different parties. There are some people that are frustrated as drivers, the way that bicyclists use the roads and maybe ignoring laws. And then there are cyclists that feel like they're ignored by cars and it's very dangerous. So we're going to kind of try to focus on how we can all share the road and enforce those laws. And we'll explore the increase in these cases and maybe discuss some prosecutorial dilemmas, some problems you could run into if these cases come before you. Is this you right here? Okay. I think I left her a responder right there on there. So first question, and you can punch in a number at any time. You can change your mind, but up on the screen right here, let's start. Our first question of the day, when was the last time you rode a bike? Choose the most appropriate answer and punch it in on your keypad. Okay, we have 15 people. I got 8 responses, 9 responses, 10. All right. Any more? Should be a good 5 more out there, 11. Going once, going twice. 12, and we'll close it down. All right, let's see what that says. Okay, 25% of you says within the last 6 months. 42% of you, it's been more than 20 years. All right? So most of the largest percentage, more than 20, but then a pretty good group within the last 6 months, and a good percentage, 8% within the last month. Who has ridden a bike within the last month? Somebody did. Mistaken input? Nobody's ridden a bike in the last month? Okay. All right. Well, who did it within the last 6 months? Okay. You guys win the award of the special gold star for living an active lifestyle. Congratulations. So a lot of us, it's been a while. We can see here 67%, it's been over a year. 42% over 20 years ago. Now, next question. Do you remember your first bike? Whether that was waiting for you under the Christmas tree or at a birthday party, if you can remember, go ahead and answer that. See if you can remember what that first bike looked like. Going once, going twice. Close it down. Okay, so 85% of us remember our first bike. 15% don't. Who can tell me what their first bike looked like? Okay, big old Western Flyer bike. What color was it?
Red and silver.
Red and silver. Okay, anybody else have a vivid picture? What did yours look like?
It was a pink Schwinn.
Pink Schwinn. Yeah, I can remember bikes. My first bike was silver and gold. I think it was a Team Murray, but I remember my brother having a bike with a big banana seat and the ape hanger handlebars, and then girls' bikes with the tassels. So I think we all have an attachment to that first bike we had when we were kids. And that's how a lot of us still look at bikes when we think of bikes. Next question. You think of a bike as primarily, one, two, or three, a toy for a child, a mode of transportation, or recreational equipment. Any more? Last call? Okay. So, 0% of us answered this as primarily thinking of it as a mode of transportation. But there are certain areas in Texas where it is a mode of transportation. Big cities, a lot of people don't have a car at all. That is their mode of transportation. So we have to be ready for this. Or if in your city there aren't bike commuters, I guarantee you at least one time a year there is some sort of organized ride or race that comes through your community, and chances are there's going to be a problem at some point, and they may call on the municipal court. So this is kind of the starting point of some of the issues that we still have today with bikes. Everybody in this room thinks of primarily a bike as that picture of us as kids. It's a children's plaything or something you do on the weekends for fun or exercise. Nobody thinks of it as a mode of transportation. So we have this clash of an idea of a bike being a toy like that versus actual legitimate transportation. And the clashing of these two ideas leads to a lot of issues, and we'll talk about those. But the bike has changed. Now, our thinking about bikes hasn't always changed. A lot of us still think of them as toys and not as legitimate transportation. But the bike itself has changed, and the way that people use them, even though society as a whole doesn't necessarily think of them as being very different. Anybody ever have a bike like this? Okay. I think there's one or two judges this year that I've taught that maybe rode something like that to school. But nobody in this room. Okay. So we have gone from this, and there's a little clip. And I'll bet you remember this movie. We're going to see a clip. This is set in the late 1800s when bicycles were brand new. They were a novelty item. And if you can't hear the line that this actor says at the beginning, the first thing he says is, "Meet the future." Okay, so that's what bikes used to be, brand new thing, you know, to do tricks in the barnyard with the great Paul Newman there. But now bikes oftentimes are used more like this. And apologize if this is not your taste of music. But as we watch this, anybody else not get the sign-in sheet? So let's look at how some bikes are used today. I think it went around to everybody. See if you can pick out any rules of the road violations happening during this little clip. It took me watching this a couple times before it really sunk in that obviously the person filming this was riding a bike as well. And then it becomes even scarier. Coming up, there's going to be an unbelievable right turn that this guy makes around a car. That's a pretty tight squeeze there. California, they do it on motorcycles. There's top. Look at that. Okay, so that's kind of where we've come from. They are used on bikes, and they could cause problems, obviously. The judge over here said in California, people on motorcycles do this. Last legislative session, they were talking about allowing motorcycles and people on bikes to fly between cars on the line markers. I think it died out, though. Okay, so we have this big increase in the use of bicycles. This says 126% increase up at the top, but if you look at it closely, that's the 126 is just since 2003 or 2004, which you've seen a big increase since then. But if you go back to 1990, you've got an increase of over 450%, And you really start seeing a climb starting at 2001 onward. Can anybody think why we have seen such an increase in bikes since 2001? What are some factors there? Gas prices? What else? Gas prices?
Traffic congestion?
Carbon footprint, concerns about the environment, trying to reduce the carbon footprint, remaining green. Anybody else?
Health reasons.
Okay, somebody, when we walked in, said, is this the class for the Lance Armstrong wannabes, right? Do you think he raised the profile of bicyclists since 2001? I mean, our Texas friend Lance won, what, 7 Tour de France's probably in the last 12 years or so. We've really seen the popularity of bikes continue to increase. Some statistics. These are national statistics, the latest one that have been released. 716 bicyclists died on U.S. roads during that year. And those deaths represent 2% of all traffic fatalities. So at first glance, we might think, oh, well, 2%, that's not a very big number. But when you look at that percentage versus the actual percentage of cyclists versus people in cars, it's a huge number. And the thing that really kind of blows the perception out of the water that bikes are toys and playthings and used by children is that 1 out of every 7 cyclists killed were between the age of 5 and 15 years. So that tells you, conversely, that 6 out of every 7 were not in that age period. So we're talking about 16 years and up. So we're talking about people that are old enough to know how to use a bike or adults that represent the vast majority of people that die on the roads on their bike. I doubt that the 1 through the 0 to 4 year old group is represented very much at all. 52,000 bicyclists were injured in traffic. So 1,000 people a week killed in traffic on bicycles. The question is, have they ever done a study to see how many of these injured bicyclists or bicyclists that have been killed, that were injured or killed because of their own fault? I haven't seen a specific study. I don't know if there's a real clear way to track that, but certainly a percentage of that, we're not saying these are all victims of, you know, poor driving. A lot of this is going to include cycling rider errors, and just like people that are killed or injured in car wrecks, a lot of time those people that are killed or injured are at fault. Unfortunately, everybody can get injured when you have any type of collision. Okay, how often do you see bicycle-related cases in your court? We're up to 11 responses. Any more? 13, 14? All right. Can we get 15? We haven't hit 15 yet. All right, 14. I think that's our best so far. Okay, never. 71% of you said never. So you're here in anticipation that they might start coming your way. 21% once or twice a year, and 7% at least monthly. Who sees people at least once a month? Bikes. We're pretty close. And what type of cases are you seeing them for? Are they pretextual stops? Because what we hear a lot about is this guy's in the wrong neighborhood in the middle of the night, near an alleged drug house, crack house. Why are they there? Oh, he doesn't have a headlight on his bike. Let's pull him over. Maybe we'll find some drugs. So that's the reason they might approach them, and that's what we hear about a lot. See a lot of those types of things? Okay. Yeah, so equipment violations are pretty common. A lot of you say never or very rarely. So the reason now, if you see one, you're not going to be caught off guard because you'll be familiar with all of these rules. But it's also important to know if you're ever approached by city council or by the police. For instance, if you have police officers that are overzealously enforcing these, that could be a problem. Or if the city council comes to you and says, man, we're having a problem with cyclists, what can we do? You'll know what the laws are and can also help with the police say, listen, these are the rules. You can enforce all of these rules with cyclists. There's 3 examples that we'll get into a little bit more as we move along today. But the proper enforcement of these laws can really improve the safety of your communities. But there's an example of where officers in one city in North Texas are using them as some of these laws as a pretext stop, but I think they're doing it incorrectly. Okay, so we'll talk about that. The equipment violation is great. It's very clear cut. If it's a rules of the road type thing in the middle of the night, it could be problematic. For instance, if they're riding not on the right side of the road in the middle of the night in an empty neighborhood, we'll talk about that. There was another one of our judges and prosecutors in municipal courts was talking about how had one officer that every person he saw on a bike that had a child seat on the back attached, they were writing a ticket for improperly using their bike. So we'll talk about those types of laws. And then these safe distance laws, which in 2009 there was an effort, and it made it all the way to the governor, to classify people on bikes as vulnerable road users. And what it meant was, if you were in a car driving past them, you had to give them at least 3 feet. If you're in a truck, at least 6 feet. Well, Governor Perry killed that, but Austin adopted that very law as an ordinance. And we'll talk about if that's working and if that's okay, because one city in North Texas was asked, we want you to adopt that law that Austin did as an ordinance, and they said, I don't think we can. So we'll talk about why maybe that's a problem. So what it all boils down to is drivers of cars and riders on bikes have to share the road. Okay, and there's going to be issues, and there's going to be conflicting feelings of entitlement. In America, we all, you know, have a lot of space. We have a lot of things. We're used to having some sense of entitlement as a community, and it can really get intense when we see controversies between motorists and cyclists. Here's a clip from Austin recently.
KVNews.com was overwhelmed with feedback. 137 comments, wow. I think, at this hour after our story yesterday about cyclists running stop signs.
Yeah, our camera caught dozens of cyclists disregarding the law, and dozens wanted to have their say about this heated issue.
Patrick Riley, who you probably remember from our story, took the brunt of the criticism. He wrote in and said, last time I checked, there was no motor on my bicycle, and that's the main difference. I should not be responsible for the same laws.
And then libertarian biker wrote, Patrick Riley for mayor. Bicyclists should be allowed to treat stop signs as yield signs.
Renegade Terry wrote, as a cyclist and triathlete, I say good for APD. These idiots encourage bike and car road rage and are the ones who make it unsafe for law-abiding cyclists on the road.
And then Greg 3564 chimed in saying, if you think APD is targeting you too much, I think they're not targeting you enough. Well, KVU's Amy Johnston continues her look at this issue. It's all new at 6.
A flood of comments poured into KVU after we aired this video of cyclist after cyclist disregarding stop signs. Some comments aimed for tolerance, saying in part, please, all cyclists, be courteous and law-abiding. Please, motorists, be respectful and safe around us. But most were angry at these images. KVU videotaped these cyclists riding through stop signs on Shoal Creek between 8 and 9 o'clock for 3 mornings last week. One viewer wrote in wanting to know more about the number of cyclists involved. In all, we recorded 64. Of those 64 cyclists, 3% came to a complete stop. 36% came to a rolling stop of some speed or another. But it appears that 61% didn't slow down at all.
We don't want anyone to get hurt. That's the reason we write tickets when people run stop signs in cars. We write tickets when people run stop signs on bicycles.
The editor of the blog, Austin on Two Wheels, says he does not condone breaking the law, but questions whether making cyclists stop at stop signs is actually safe.
In Idaho, cyclists are actually allowed to treat stop signs as yield signs and stop lights as stop signs. And they have very, very low cycling fatality rates and very low accident rates.
He also says the provocative comments do not further the issue. He would rather see some hard data.
Studying the actual traffic patterns and what really is safe versus what we think is safe. And then citations are part of that, but it's got to be part of a larger program.
A program that will hopefully bridge the gap in what is a very divisive issue. Amy Johnston, KVU News.
Okay, I heard probably the most common comment that I've heard throughout this year from about 1,200 judges when that guy said, you know, in Idaho, we get to do this. What's the number one comment? Move to Idaho. Go back to Idaho. Any thoughts about that? What do you think about that? I don't think we have any real avid cyclists in here. But does anybody think that it's okay if they ignore stop signs or anything like that? No. I think most of us are on the same page. I've had a few cycling judges that say, well, what people don't understand is when you're in toe clips and your feet are clipped to the pedals, that you got to pull them out and stop and all your momentum's done. And to me, and I think we all feel the same way, if they have to follow the laws, then that's what the law is. You know, I think that one comment was probably best. Good for APD, those that ignore the rule, increase road rage because it makes motorists angry with them. But basically, if you had to put the law regarding cyclists using the roads on a bumper sticker, and it's essentially the same in all 50 states, it would look like this. Same roads, same rules, same rights. Okay, so generally they have to follow all the same rules that we do, and that's under chapter 551. The judge is saying on military basis, oftentimes they have higher standards. You have to wear a helmet, have to wear reflective vests, same with a motorcycle, and follow all the rules. Well, is there any problem with trying to use all of this? Yes, Judge. Mm-hmm. Failure to maintain a single lane? Probably. And that's going to be the prosecutor's call. But that leads into a good question. What's the problem with trying to use the same rules that we use for cars with bicycles and people that ride bicycles? Any problems with that? Are there any differences between cars and bikes that might make things a little bit different? Okay. The judge says, well, one big issue is cars can travel so much faster. Yeah, there's different capabilities as to what they can do. So not only might they, bicycles might not be capable of breaking some laws that cars do, but they're bigger, they're faster, they're heavier. The consequences are more catastrophic if something goes wrong. Here's a good picture that might explain the inherent problem. I don't know if you can see that very well, but it's kind of like, you know, putting, you know, a 700-pound sumo wrestler up against a 5-year-old. We've got different capabilities, sizes, and speeds and all of that. Here's an email that might reflect some people's feelings as frustrated motorists. And this may or may not have come from my colleague, Ryan Turner. Children are taught to ride their bikes on sidewalks. This is encouraged. Is it legal? I found myself seriously angry when I saw a guy ride his bike on the sidewalk, then go off the sidewalk prior to an intersection, merge with traffic, make a hand signal lane change, and then when he got to a red light, go back onto the sidewalk and then wait for it, cross with pedestrians at the controlled intersection. Unbelievable. Anybody ever seen cyclists do that? They're on the road, they get on the sidewalk back, and they kind of seem to get the best of both worlds. Is that frustrating? Could be frustrating. So let's take a couple of ideas out of that email. Is it legal under state law to ride a bicycle on the sidewalk? Yes or no? Okay, judge is saying a lot of the people on bikes are young kids. And a lot of us as parents want them to, don't get in the road, stay on the sidewalk. Okay, so we got 14 responses. Let's see what you say. Okay, 43% say yes, it's legal. 57% say no. And we'll talk more about this, but does anybody in their cities have an ordinance prohibiting, city ordinance? Okay, so if you have a city ordinance, do you think that means, if we had a state law, would you need a city ordinance to prohibit it? Right, so it would be preempted. So if there was a state law, you wouldn't need one. And we'll talk a bit more exactly how the law works. But there's nothing in the state law that prohibits riding bicycles on a sidewalk. Okay. Now, this one I strategically drafted with some very imprecise language here. Is it okay for cyclists to freely switch between sidewalk and road? Yes or no? So maybe you think of whether that's safe or whether that bothers you or is it illegal? 12 responses. going once, going twice, up to 13. We'll shut it down. Okay. Most of you said, no, that's not okay. 54%. 46% said yes. Well, I think the answer may lie right here, the applicability of Chapter 551. It says it applies to persons operating a bicycle on a highway or path set aside for the exclusive operation of bicycles. So, highway, keep in mind when we hear the word highway, it doesn't mean we're talking about high-speed highways or freeways. Really, we're talking about any public road, highway. And then, path set aside for the exclusive operation of bicycles. Well, is a sidewalk a highway? Is it a path set aside for the exclusive use of bicycles? So, I don't think Chapter 551 is going to be in effect for sidewalk bicycle riding. So, that's something that would need to be addressed by ordinance like your city. And the other problem is, what about them jumping from highway to sidewalk, highway to sidewalk? Well, we know we have jurisdiction over them under Chapter 551 when they're on the roadway. But the minute they leave that roadway and get up onto the sidewalk, we don't have any jurisdiction over that. So I think it would be very hard to have any enforcement for people jumping over and coming back off because we, you know, have control over them on the road, then we lose it on the sidewalk, then we do on the road. So, you know, it's kind of tricky. And we have these other things that say same road, same rules, same rights. Well, we can have a car jumping from road to sidewalk, but that's when we have to look at, well, we're really talking about apples and oranges here, and we have this other rule later that talks about all the rules of the road apply unless you can't really apply it to a bicycle. So definition, what is a bike? What are these rules going to actually apply to? A bike is a device that a person can ride that is propelled by human power and has two tandem wheels, at least one of which is more than 14 inches in diameter. Now what does it mean for two wheels to be in tandem? What do you think? Wheels in tandem, what does that mean? One right in front of the other, like you would think of a bicycle. So let's look at, we'll look at some examples to see whether they're bikes in a little bit. The other thing that you should know, it says that parents may not knowingly permit a child to violate rules applicable to bikes. So there's a possible offense there if a parent knows what the rules are and then allows the kid to go out. What's the biggest problem with prosecuting somebody under this? That knowingly is probably going to get you almost every time. Not only saying that, you know, your kid's out here doing this, but showing you knew they were out here doing this, you knew it was against the law. So I would have guessed that this is probably the most unenforced rule in Chapter 551. Okay, so 551 is broken down into three sections: how to use the road, how to use the bike, and equipment. Rights and duties. Here's the big general rule, that kind of bumper sticker law. Same roads, same rules, same rights. A person operating a bicycle has the rights and duties applicable to a driver operating a vehicle, unless altered by statute, and it actually says altered by statute in this chapter. So unless it's changed in Chapter 551, or the right or duty cannot be applied to a person operating a bicycle. What are some duties, some laws that apply to people in cars that we couldn't really translate and apply to bikes? Seat belts. Anything else? Insurance. Anything else? Registration. Yeah, all those types of things. License. Yeah, a lot of things that apply to motorists and people that drive cars are not going to translate very well at all to people on bikes. And this is where the issue where I talked about Austin adopting that attempted state law as an ordinance might be problematic. Because in some people's view, it says now that people on a bike have an additional right of 3 feet or 6 feet of clearance space. Well, an ordinance does not live in Chapter 551. It's not a statute. So can an ordinance grant a cyclist more rights? I don't think so. I think it's preempted. The flip side is, the counter-argument, I guess, would be we're not giving people on bikes additional rights. We're putting an additional duty on motorists, because it's not that the bikes have to maintain 3 feet. It's that the motorists going past them have to do something. I think it's going to be very interesting if that law is ever challenged, and it could completely blow up. A person operating a bicycle gone. Jameson's going to work on getting us set back up. Something may have come loose on the power and just decided to turn off. Okay, so I think we were just getting ready to talk about the general operation. A person operating a bicycle shall ride on or only on or astride a permanent and regular seat attached to the bicycle. What does it mean, do you think, for something to be permanent and regular? With the seat that a bike comes with, is that permanent and regular? The seat that the bicycle comes with when you purchase it, would you consider that to be permanent and regular? Is it removable, though? And oftentimes people take it off and get a new one. So permanent is kind of an odd word to throw in there, permanent. And then regular, what is regular? Something designed to be used regularly with a bicycle. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Jameson. Round of applause for Jameson for keeping us working. All right, so how about this picture right here? What do you think? Permanent and regular seat? And dual-purpose seat. Yeah. Normally when you see the word regular in that picture, something else comes to mind. But that might be permanent depending on how hard it's on there, but it's probably not considered a regular seat. How about these? Is that a permanent and regular seat? It looks like it's welded together and it's permanent on there, but is it regular? The point is, some of these may be hard to prosecute, and you have to think about what kind of proof it's going to take. Do you bring in the owner's manual of the bicycle? That'd probably be one place to go. Maybe you also have an owner's manual for the aftermarket bike or seat that's put on there. The owner's manual for a child seat or things like that. But permanent and regular is what it says. What about this? Is this even a bike? Well, it looks like there's two or four wheels. I don't see two wheels in tandem, though. So it's probably not a bike as defined. These are interesting. It says down here at the bottom, conferencebike.com. They actually have these in Austin, and you can schedule them for like 20 or 30-minute chunks with people from your office and ride up and down Congress Avenue Bridge, I think, and have a meeting if you'd like. The other thing that I saw was really weird in downtown Austin the other day. Have you all ever heard of something called a pub crawl, where people get on a bus and they go from bar to bar? Well, I saw something called a pub crawler. It was kind of a contraption that kind of looked like this, that was a bar, probably about the size of this table. There's three or four people sitting on this side, three or four people sitting on this side. They're all sitting and drinking beer and pedaling as they're sitting there, and there's one person that's steering behind it. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I thought, there's got to be a law against that. In Austin, you'll see a bar being pedaled down the street, people drinking it. Okay, general operation. A person may not use a bicycle to carry more persons than the bicycle is designed or equipped to carry. Now, is this person carrying more people than it's designed or equipped to carry? See, most people say yes. Now, be honest, how many of you when you were a kid would have your friend sit on the handlebars and pedal around? Are the handlebars, does that mean it's equipped to hold somebody? Is that the purpose? Might have to look at the owner's manual, but probably not. How about this? Is this person carrying more than the bike is designed or equipped to carry? What if this mom only had herself and the kid in the back? Would that be okay? I see some yeses. I would think, if you can provide a manual for this seat, and it's designed to carry somebody, and it's installed correctly, it's probably okay. Up front, it looks like this kid's still on the handlebars, just sitting on the handlebars. But it's not necessarily the design of the bike, but now is it designed or equipped? So if you have some equipment on it that alters its capacity, it's probably okay. What are these called? Pegs. What are pegs used for? Yeah, they're probably designed a lot for like the freestyle bike tricks where they will put a foot on it and spin their bike under their leg and all that type of thing. When I was growing up, and probably a lot of you, pegs were used more often for what? Your friends, they're on your axle, so they're standing on it and they have their hands on your shoulders. They could even be on the front too. And so the question now, if you have heads, are is the bicycle equipped to carry another person? So these are the questions that could come up in trial, and the prosecutor might be reluctant to say, hold on, you wrote them for too many people on the bike, but they had pegs. But that's the things that they'll have to try and prove. Or, maybe the defendant brings in, I have pegs, here's the instructions. It talks about its weight capacity and how to install them. Those are things that have to come into consideration. It might be equipped, if it's got pegs, to have somebody standing on the back. Okay, a person operating a bicycle may not use the bicycle to carry an object that prevents the person from having at least one hand on the handlebars of the bicycle. Okay, what's this guy got strapped to his bicycle? A refrigerator. Yeah. That's a dedicated mover right there. Or somebody who's very thirsty and wants a cold one. It does look like it's probably in Europe. But does he have both hands? At least one hand on the handlebars? It looks like it. And he's mastered the art of physics and geometry and everything else to have the perfect level of lean to not be tipped over by that cyclist. Okay, how about this guy? You got a hand on the handlebars? Looks okay there. You know, the first time I saw this picture, I couldn't figure out what that was. I thought, at first it looked like the world's largest Chinese takeout containers. But I think I was just hungry. I think it's like stacked styrofoam. What's that? Not against the law in China. Maybe not. How about this guy? Oh, trash. He's got at least one hand. He's not riding the bicycle. So, another rule. A person operating a bicycle, coaster, sled, or toy vehicle, or using roller skates may not attach either the person or that bike, coaster, sled, toy vehicle, or roller skates to a car, streetcar, or vehicle on a roadway. So you can't hold on to pick up some speed. And the slang term apparently is called skitching. Anybody ever see that movie with Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox when he's on a skateboard? He would grab onto the back of the truck, right? You've probably seen that. Here's a clip of a New York City bike messenger doing some skitching.
Some of the taxi drivers, we hold on to the side of the cab, you know, to get a running start when we have to stop the lights. And we're not really supposed to, but they let us, you know, most of the guys.
Bike hang out is not bad. Sometimes they give you a heart attack.
Anybody out here doing this is real because they put their lives on the line. I call them gladiators. You know what I mean? I trained for a few years in the Navy, in the SEAL program. It takes a certain amount of toughness to be a bike messenger. You got to be a little crazy. Don't take nobody's crap. Because if you get killed, you got a lot to worry about.
I disagree. I think if you get killed, you don't really have much to worry about.
Darting in and out of cars when those doors fly open. And over the years, I've developed reflexes where I can reach over my handlebars and close the door if it's opening on me.
All right, after seeing this video and the one earlier, does anybody want to go to apply to be a bike messenger? It doesn't look like the funnest job. But that's how skitching works. More rules. On the road, a person operating a bicycle on a roadway who is moving slower than the other traffic on the roadway shall ride as near as possible to the right curb or edge of the roadway. Okay, here's a call I got from a prosecutor earlier this year. They said, this is what my officers are doing. They're using pretextual stops in the middle of the night in the wrong neighborhood, and they used to do equipment violations, but now they're citing people under this rule because they're not on the right side of the road. The guy's middle of the night, 3 in the morning, riding wherever he wants to on the road. She said, I have a problem with that. So we looked at it. Let's look at the language. A person operating a bicycle on a roadway who is moving slower than the other traffic. Okay, slower than other traffic. So if it's in the middle of the night and there is no other traffic, then it doesn't sound like they have to ride on the right side of the road. So there's some exceptions built in. And then there's some enlisted exceptions. This is when a cyclist can use the full lane of travel. When they're passing another vehicle going in the same direction, when they're making a left turn. And of course, we don't want people making a left turn from the right side of the road, cutting in front of us. And if there's unsafe conditions on the roadway. Or if it's too narrow. If it's not at least 14 feet wide and it doesn't have a designated bike lane, or it's too narrow for a bike and a car to safely travel side by side. That's when they can use it. You can ride two abreast, so you can ride next to somebody, but you have to stay in a single lane, and you may not impede the normal and reasonable flow of traffic. Anybody from the area near Canyon, around here, Canyon? This May Ride Two Abreast rule came into focus earlier within the last year or so. There was this well-known cycling advocate that was riding and was killed by a distracted driver. The distracted driver dropped their cell phone or dropped a CD or something and took their eyes off, and they veered into the cyclist and killed them. Well, apparently at the grand jury stage, I think it became a controversy because this cycling advocate was riding three abreast instead of two abreast. So they were wider than the law allows, and maybe partially the reason why the person was hit. And I think that the last I heard may have changed. The grand jury decided not to indict this person because there was some fault on the by the rider of the bike. Okay, safety equipment. The bike has to have a brake capable of making a braked wheel skid on dry, level, clean pavement. So they have to lock up the wheel so you come to a sliding stop on dry, level, clean pavement. Now, some cyclists have said the brakes don't even really work like that with caliper brakes now. It can bring them to a more controlled stop. But that's what the law says. Bring it to a skid. At night, a white light visible from a distance of at least 500 feet in front, or and also a red reflector visible from the rear for 300 feet, or a lamp at the rear that emits red light for 500 feet. 500 feet sounds like a long distance, but remember, this is at night, so it's not incredibly powerful. And it's not 500 feet of vision for the rider, it's 500 feet visible from somebody looking at the rider. Competitive racing needs the approval of local law enforcement, and they have to agree on safety regulations. Other trends and ordinances you might see: distance laws, helmet laws, registration, riding restrictions like sidewalk restrictions, and bike bans. We have at least one bike ban. Austin ordinance, this is the one we talked about a little bit. At least 3 feet from cars, 6 feet from trucks, and it's not just cyclists. You have joggers, people on motorcycles, wheelchairs, horseback, all of those people. There's no statewide helmet law. In Texas, you don't have to wear a helmet on the bike. Several cities have helmet ordinances: Arlington, Austin, Fort Worth, Houston, Benbrook, Bedford. Dallas requires everyone to have one, and there's a case that I mentioned in the supplement there where a guy was cited for not wearing his helmet, and he said that that was interfering with his enjoyment of his bicycle. And it was on appeal, and while it was on appeal, he took advantage of a compliance dismissal. In Dallas, apparently, you take in your helmet and show them that you have one, then it will be dismissed, kind of like the child safety seat dismissal. So he did that, and then the appeals court was able to say, oh, well, there's no live controversy, it's moot, we don't need to decide. So it is possible to pass a helmet ordinance. Houston ordinance required all bikes to be registered for $5. I've learned that that has since been repealed. Apparently it was too much of a burden for, I think it was the fire department that was handling these. Bartonville requires groups of 10 or more to apply for a rally permit, so there's a bike ban there. Of course, the cyclists are a pretty well-connected group and have a pretty good communication structure. How do you think that bike riders get around this Bartonville bike ban? If you can't go through groups of 10 or more, what do you think they'll do? They stop outside of city limits and they break down into groups of 9 or less. Okay, I know we have mostly people frustrated sometimes in here with sharing the road, so here's a good clip of how you might feel towards bikes sometimes. It's from Europe.
WR107.
Anybody ever feel like doing that? Somebody try to lean on your car, just back out of the way? All right, I think that's everything. You now have seen every rule concerning bikes in state law. Those are my gratuitous picture of my two boys. Thank you for your time. We got 10 minutes before the next class. And you can just, if you wouldn't mind setting your responder by the little stack I've got on the back table, that'd be great. Thank you for your time. You've got about 10 minutes.